Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community. Our goal for the show is to inform and inspire our listeners by sharing stories of impact from people and organizations who are doing really great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Throughout my professional career, I've done a lot of leadership training. I've read copious amounts of books on leadership and personal development from greats like Zig Ziglar, John Maxwell, Brian Tracy, Stephen Covey, Simon Sinek, to name a few. And the message I got from all these greats is that whatever you do, you need to do it with purpose and passion, intention and integrity. You need to choose to be the change you want to see in the world. Now, I think many people would agree that there are many challenges and adversities that we can face in our personal and professional lives, and there are challenges and adversities others face in their lives. Will we be intentional about using our skill, our talents, our connections, our passion to do something about it? Will we use those same resources to help support someone else in their challenge or adversity? You may have heard the term social enterprise, as it's a popular topic of conversation today. A social enterprise is typically a business that uses a market-driven approach to address unmet needs or social problems or environmental problems. We at EIG think social enterprise is such a big thing, very important, and that's one of the reasons why we started the radio show. And there are countless nonprofit organizations out there with a common goal, to address an unmet need or a social problem, but they do it without profits as a goal. The common theme is that they both want to be the change they want to see in the world. They both utilize the skills and talents of leaders to accomplish this goal. We like to highlight and bring awareness to the people in the organizations that are change makers, the ones on the front lines making a difference for others in our community. The guests that we feature on this show do exactly that. My first guest for today's show is Dawn Fiedler, founder of Join the Movement, whose mission is to bring awareness and education to local communities while providing advocacy assistance to victims of trafficking and the related crimes of domestic and sexual violence. Welcome to the show today, Dawn.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So I believe that you're one of the leaders who wanted to be the change you wanted to see in the world. You obviously saw a need in the community that resulted in the start of Join the Movement, or JTM. Can you tell us about that?
Certainly. I was a part of the Rotary, my local club of Elkhorn, and they sent me to the district conference to learn more about Rotary, and as I was becoming their president of the club. So they thought it was a really good idea to train me a bit further. So they sent me to Milwaukee to the district conference, and I attended a workshop on human trafficking during that conference. I sat there for 2 hours with my mouth open and my eyes wide open, not believing what I was hearing. At that time, Wisconsin was number 3 in the nation. And I thought, how can that be? Now, I'm originally from England. I have family all over the world in different areas. And I knew that there was human trafficking happening. I just did no idea what that really looked like. I had no idea what that looked like in the state of Wisconsin.
And we were number 3.
We were number 3 at that time.
Wow. Okay.
So I worked for a church at the time, and I was involved in Rotary. I went back to my church and to my Rotary Club and told them what I had learned. that I felt God had called me to bring this education into our local community. The organization that taught the workshop, they were busy enough in their own community. They did not want to come into Walworth County at the time. So I said, okay, that's fine, but we need this. And I went to the leadership in our law enforcement and to the leadership in Health and Human Services and said, we need to bring this education into our area. So I organized a large awareness event for our community. And it was for January 11th, which happens to be National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. And so we had 6 months to plan this event, and we invited Teresa Flores to come and be our speaker. I invited the organization that I had learned about to also come so that Teresa could talk about what was happening nationwide, and Fight to End Exploitation would talk about what was happening in Southeast Wisconsin. And then we had a panel afterwards of various leaders. We had 12 different people on the panel to answer the questions based on their specialty. And it was a phenomenal turnout. I mean, considering there was an ice storm that day, and all the news agents were coming from Milwaukee could not come because of the thick ice on 43. So we still had over 200 people show up.
Wonderful. Wow. And well, there's that leader that we were talking about at the opening. You know, and you saw a need and you went and did something about it.
That's right. And so we actually joined the movement right after that event when we realized that we needed to bring it into other community areas. And we were in the basement of the hospital in the conference room, and that's how Join the Movement started. Mm. And we were trying to think, what do we call it?
And how did you come up with the name?
Well, and we called it Join the Movement to bring people out. And so we thought, well, let's just call it that. The difference is we added events on it because our original mission at that time was to bring education and awareness, and that was the events that we were organizing. So we call it Join the Movement Events, Inc., and we started a nonprofit. We applied for our nonprofit status, and we got it in 7 days.
Wow.
Which is unheard of.
Wow.
That's definitely a God thing, right?
Yeah. So I obviously we know that this is a prolific problem. You know, it's more so than people even can imagine, as you talked about. So I'm guessing that there are other organizations similar to yours. What makes JTM stand out from other organizations?
The other organizations, they're all phenomenal. And we work with as many of them as we are able, because it's going to take all of us to fix this issue. I think what makes Join the Movement stand out even more so, though, is that we really focus on those rural areas. We don't, you know, because when you go and you look at the Blue Campaign or the Polaris Project, they really focus on the cities. And we all know it's in the cities, but we don't understand how they're getting the victims, especially the ones who are in our rural areas. So what we did, the first thing I did was create a toolkit for families, which is a resource for social media and how to navigate their family on social media. And that it blossomed into a hospitality toolkit. So now we go and we train hotel staff. We tend to focus more on the boutique and the resort hotels, because we were doing the SOAP project, which was a great project. We do that with local hotels, but they didn't want the SOAP from the SOAP project. So we teach them how to use their own products and what they can do and how to set up a protocol. That led us into teaching first responders, because I was going to all of these trainings. I was with the FBI, with DOJ, with the Children's Hospital, at all of these various trainings that I attended, and I'd see the chief and the captains, but you didn't see the patrol officer, you didn't see the first responder, the people who have their feet on the ground doing the work, getting into those houses, pulling those cars over. So we created our training for law enforcement, which is a 3-hour workshop. We bring our district attorney into that. We bring an internet crimes investigator. We bring a forensic nurse examiner into that training. And we have grown that program to, we just released a new transportation toolkit. Last summer, we released the toolkit on sexting and sextortion. And these are all resources. Mm. They're to help families to provide, number one, a safe internet experience for their own family. But for the whole community. We want all of the community to be educated. What do those indicators look like in the jobs that they're doing on a day-to-day basis?
And the community benefits so much by all those resources. And that's why we want to make sure people are aware of organizations like Join the Movement, so that they are familiar with the resources that are available. Obviously, you're providing resources to organizations, but from an individual standpoint, people need to know what's available, what's out there. You know, I hear people all the time say that they don't think this is an issue in their community, to which I respond, and I'm sure, Dawn, you do as well, it most certainly is. Stay tuned, because after a commercial break, Dawn's going to talk about what it might look like right in your own backyard. We'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Dawn Fiedler from Join the Movement. So I said before the break that some people naively think that this kind of thing doesn't happen in their community, but what they don't realize is that it's probably happening right under their nose, perhaps right in their own backyard. So, Dawn, tell us what human trafficking looks like in our rural communities.
So we knew that social media was a big deal before the pandemic, but the social media has become so much bigger since the pandemic, because everybody was online, because they couldn't go to school, they couldn't go to work. Everything was done online, and that exploded. Apps like TikTok and Snapchat have just exploded because of the use. And kids are getting on there at younger and younger ages, but parents are getting on there as well. And they're doing the same things. So social media has created this amazing way to communicate. I mean, social media was created to be fun, right? It was not created, you know, it's unfortunate that people have decided to use that to exploit others and the vulnerabilities in others. And the statistics are telling us that in every block, in every part of the United States, there is someone who is being groomed or sextorted right now. And what we do with our social media toolkit is I go into the schools, I talk to the parents, I go into the churches, and I explain we have to have these conversations with our kids now before they are asked. We have to educate them. We have to have an open conversation. We need to be a safe place for them to come and talk to us, because if we don't, we could have very serious consequences in the long run. And that the key is to talk to them before they're asked. Prepare them now on how to respond when they are asked. And the answer is always the same. No. You always say no. I don't care if he loves you more than anything in the world when you're in high school. You say no. Because once that picture is taken, and once you have sent that to someone else, you have no control over where that goes next.
You know, I thought initially you meant no, K-N-O-W, which I was like, absolutely. Everybody has to know.
Absolutely.
Everybody has to know all they have to know the stats. They have to know what it looks like in their communities. They have to know what they should be talking about with their kids. But you're saying no, N-O.
N-O.
Literally saying no.
No. We train our kids now to say no when they are asked, because they will be asked.
And so social media is a biggie.
Yes.
But what else should people be looking for maybe in their communities?
Well, I think one of the keys to ending human trafficking is by education, is by bringing that awareness to all of our communities at all levels, from the community leaders to the parents to the kids. If we can educate our youth on what this looks like, can you imagine the difference they're going to make in their friends' lives? Because they will see things that we might miss as teachers and adults working with these kids. They might see their friend is pulling away from their friend base. They might see, I mean, the teachers might see their grades are slipping, but what does that mean? Where the kids might see more, and the kids are in the locker rooms, they're going to see, hey, is that a tattoo? What is that all about? What does that look like? because tattoos are a form of branding that traffickers will use to claim that property is theirs. And parents may never see that because they don't go into the bathrooms with their kids, right? But they might see them in the locker room. If we can educate our kids, what does that look like? Why does she have two cell phones? Parents may never know she has two cell phones. Why would she need two cell phones? She's gone away for a weekend. Does she know where she went? What did she do? Her answers are very vague. I don't remember. Did I go to Milwaukee for the weekend? No. Manitowoc? Madison? I don't remember. Well, what did you do? Oh, we just hung out. I don't know. It was just, you know. Those are clear red flags. What does her behavior look like? Does she change her clothes when she comes to school? So she's leaving the house looking one way, and now she's leaving in another. Is she on the phone in between classes? Or he? It's not even just a she. Are they on the phone with this older boyfriend, older girlfriend in between classes? They have to check in all the time. Are they hanging out at the school waiting for them to get out? Are they missing classes? Those are all real key indicators. Now, we're looking at labor trafficking. You've got first responders going into a home. Are they allowed to go in through the front door, or do they have to come in through the garage? Do we ever see the bins at the end of the driveway, you know, for pickup? No. Why is that? Because they have to take that garbage elsewhere so nobody can go through it, because it's public domain when it's at the end of the driveway. How many doors are on, how many locks are on that door? Why would they need five locks? Or when you're in the house, why are there locks on the outside of the doors? So they're locked in their rooms. Are they dressed appropriately for the weather? Are they able to look you in the eye and answer your questions, or does somebody do that on their behalf?
Wow, there's so many things. Do you have this on your website that people can reference?
We have all of our toolkits are available on our website, and they are free to download. You can send them to whomever you feel would benefit from these. All of our toolkits are there. And I will even come to your church, your home, your school, your organization, your corporation, and I will teach these workshops. And I create every workshop according to your needs for your audience. Mm.
And Dawn, you were telling me before we started the interview that it's so far-reaching, the work that you're doing, that you're even training, teaching and training people in Africa.
Yes, we are in Kenya. I had a message come through. A headmaster of a school in Kibera had saw my social media toolkit and asked me if I could train him so he could teach his students. And so I did via Zoom. I had to get up at 0:30 in the morning because they're, you know, 7 hours ahead. And he, in turn, took that information to a leadership day in his community and told his community leaders about what he had learned, and they asked me to train them to be advocates because that is the next level. We realized after the pandemic that so many of our victims were falling through the cracks, and so we created an advocacy program because I'm just one person.
Right.
So I have been training community members in Walworth County, where we are located, to work with victims of violence. And we train them for human trafficking, domestic violence, sexual assault, and even strangulation. So now we work in four hospitals in southeast Wisconsin. We're in Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties. And then we also work in the jail. We do a lot of work in the jail. And I've learned recently that we're the only organization that provides advocates to those victims who are incarcerated in the jail. And then if the Child Advocacy Center needs an advocate, we can provide that when needed as well.
Wow. There is never enough time to get to everything, but you guys are obviously doing so many things. How are you able to fund all the work that you that you're doing and that needs to be done?
We are completely privately funded. We do not apply for any federal or state grants because we don't want to be limited on the work we can do. So when we work, especially in the jail, we do so much work in the jail these days. If they have felony convictions against them, they're not eligible for assistance. So we make sure that we are able to help them. We provide care bags, so we provide them with bags of toiletries, and they are not logo. There's no logo on there. Nobody knows where that's coming from.
Okay.
And we give those to anyone who needs it. We give those to the hospitals to hand out as well. We also have some clothing that we can help victims who are leaving the jail. A lot of times they have nothing. Sometimes they don't even have shoes. I've gone out to buy shoes. And we will set them up and get them into an aftercare program. We've been able to work with our local DA's office, with the judges, with the Department of Corrections, as well as their attorney, to get them into an aftercare program instead of into the prison system, as long as they behave themselves and they finish the program. If they don't, then they'll end up in prison.
Mm. Wow. What would you say is Join the Movement's greatest need then? Because you're talking about all these resources being free. You're only one person. I mean, the wonderful work that you're doing has a domino effect, right? Like, mm-hmm. as evidenced by the people in Africa and obviously locally. But if somebody's listening and they wanted to help out some way, what would you say is your greatest need? And then how can somebody get involved to support you?
The greatest need we have, and this is across the board for all of us who are working together to make changes in our community, is housing. It's aftercare programs. Over 80% of our victims, if they do not get into an aftercare program, will be re-victimized. So that is the biggest need we have, is finding a bed for an aftercare program that we can get our victims into. Finances is always a big need. I will be honest, God has always provided whenever we've had a need, so I've never really had to worry about it. But now I have staff, so I worry about it.
Okay.
Because okay. It isn't just me. And I have 37 volunteers who are trained advocates here in Southeast Wisconsin, and I have 24 in Africa, in
wow.
Kenya.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a lot to give.
Yeah.
And we provide all of our toolkits free of charge. And it costs money to print those.
Yeah. So do you have like a donate button on your website?
I do. And our website is jtme.org.
Very simple. jtme.org.
Which stands for jointhemovementevents.org. And my contact information is there as well. My email and phone number to contact me directly.
Okay. Well, Dawn, I wish we could continue our conversation, but we're out of time right now. But certainly respect you for the work that you're doing, and you have your hands full, certainly. And anybody that can help in any way, if you're listening, if this is something that pulls at your heart, then reach out to Dawn and get more information. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, I talked about the importance of leaders in our community who have a passion to step up and use their talents, their skills, their connections, and be intentional about how they can make a difference in the world. I think that describes Dawn very well. I shared some of the greats in the world of leadership that I have followed over the course of my career. After we return from commercial break, we're going to meet a woman who actually co-authored two books with one of those greats, and we'll see how she's being intentional about how she wants to make a difference in the world. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Melissa Whitaker, CEO and founder of Melissa Whitaker International and newly elected board member of the Join the Movement nonprofit. Welcome to the show today, Melissa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. First of all, congratulations on being a part of the board.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So you are obviously a leader in your respective field. And I mentioned that you co-authored two books with one of my favorite leaders in professional development. We're going to get to that in a moment, maybe in our next segment. But what I want to first talk about is your involvement with Join the Movement. So you're a woman of purpose and passion, intention and integrity, and you obviously wanted to be part of the change you wanted to see in the world. So tell us what led you to be on the board for Join the Movement.
Sure, absolutely. So years ago, my husband and I were talking, and we happened to be attending a leadership conference, and the topic of human trafficking came up. And similar to Dawn and Join the Movement, my eyes were very much so open wide with the statistics that they were discussing that I was not aware of. I think most of the time, most of us, when we hear human trafficking, think it's happening just globally, but in other countries, let's be fair. as I started to learn, and my husband and I both were sitting there listening and learning about how this is happening right in our communities, I was mortified. I mean, I thought, we've got to make a change. We have two daughters, and even if we had sons, we'd feel the same way, but we have two beautiful daughters that we're like, we have got to get involved. We've got to make a change. So, you know, I just was prayerful about that. I said, Lord, lead me to understand better what the needs are, and how do we get involved? I think that's always the question, like, we're two people, or I'm one person. How do we make that impact? And so it was absolutely a God thing that a little over a year ago, I'm at a meeting and Dawn's there and she's presenting about joining the movement. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. This is amazing. So
divine intervention.
Divine. And I can tell you, I raced home that day, no joke. And I said to my husband, you're never going to believe the speaker who was at this meeting today. It was all about human trafficking. And she's founded this entire movement in our actual community that we live in, and we can help her out. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how it started, that process, you know. And then she had a seminar she was offering for parents at our local school, and I signed up right away, both my husband and I, and I said, you've got to meet this lady. So that was kind of the beginning stage of learning more about Dawn's movement. And when we both came to that seminar, my husband was shocked as well. And we signed her sheets too, to say, she sends out these sheets that says, do you want to get involved? And how can you help? And I said, any way we can, any way we can. So we kind of started the friendship at that point. And I just wanted to be supportive through my leadership and my influence that I've kind of developed over time through running a business. I wanted to make sure that I understood enough and I could share enough of the information in the area. And as that developed, then eventually it would just made sense that, you know, Dawn and I talked and she said, would you be interested in joining our board? And I said, yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. So if we can make a difference, if I can have any help or volunteer in any way, and we can help come alongside this organization for helping to fundraise, to helping to bring awareness, to also help with any kind of influence we may have that God has given us, to help with the fundraising efforts as well as Dawn is an amazing speaker. And so sometimes it's good as a speaker to have a backup. And so I also do a lot of keynote speaking. And so I told Dawn, hey, if there's ever a need, I can fill in for you because I want to come alongside you and you, and this passion for making a change in our local community.
Mm. Well, again, there's that where that leader personality comes into play. What alignment then do you see between running your training and your consulting firm, Melissa Whitaker International, and supporting such an important cause as Join the Movement?
Such a great question. Well, it's interesting because for my organization, one thing that we've really adopted and really got out in our own community about something that we're passionate about for MWI, Melissa Whitaker International, is back in 2014, you know, I was asked the question, what breaks me? What breaks my heart? And what easily came to mind was women and children back then. And it's interesting because as I look at my business, one thing that really then started evolving in our own, in that area of training and consulting, even on the business space, is that we see that people in general as human beings, we all want to feel seen, heard, understood, and valued. Mm-hmm. And I started to learn more and more about Dawn's, you know, Join the Movement and her organization. And it's interesting, had 100% alignment. So I thought, isn't that interesting that what we're doing in the business world for that concept of seen, heard, and understood and valued, Dawn is spearheading in a whole different area in this cause, in this movement for helping victims of human trafficking, hoping to prevent it, helping to people who went through it and have to come out of it. But they all, on her side, also want to feel seen, heard, understood, and valued. And to me, that was complete alignment right there between my organization and her organization.
Is the being seen, heard, understood, and valued, I think I got those all right, is that like a motto at MWI?
Great question. I can't say it's a complete motto, but I will say we weave it into everything we do. Okay. So in other words, a lot of other training organizations or consulting organizations in similar capacities of what we teach, you know, in our sales and leadership, culture, and wellness, a lot of times people feel like they're just a number. you know, that people come in and they give training, and it's like just logistics and information, and then they move on. And it's not always like those organizations that do training. They don't always feel like the people, the employees, the companies that they're actually training don't always feel like that training company cares about them. They're just there to do a job, you know? So what I found was we're very different. At Melissa Whitaker International, we take a holistic approach. We have for a very long time, over 10 years of being in business, for close to 15 of those years, 10 of those years, we have been very specific to make sure people know we are very different in our approach. We're very different in what we teach, and that we come in and we see the people we're training, we care about them, we care about their families, and of course we care about the business who hired us that they work for. But it comes full circle, because we believe when people are happier at work, they're happier at home, and when they're happier at home, they're happier at work. So we just really adapted that whole entire mantra. I would say more of a mantra than a motto or a slogan, but we say that through every training and everything we do. We're very clear with the people that we work with how we're different, why we're different, and why we care.
Wow. Well, one of the big pieces of being a leader is being a part of the solution, not part of the problem. And you're sure speaking to that. You need to be bold and not afraid to step up, open your mouth and share information and advocate for those things that you're passionate about. That sounds a lot like where you're at, Melissa. We're going to take one last break before we end our interview today. When we return, we're going to talk about why Melissa is so compelled to share the information and the statistics of Join the Movement locally and across the country. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking in our last segment today with Melissa Whitaker, CEO and founder of Melissa Whitaker International. So, Melissa, why do you feel so compelled to share the information and the statistics of Join the Movement, not only locally in our community, but across the nation as well?
Yeah, it's interesting because, like I said before, I was asked this question, what breaks my heart, years ago. And it was women and children, easily, hands down. And so what's interesting is I started to learn more about Join the Movement, that kind of fell right into, of course, that capacity of what breaks my heart. And also when I heard how much is going on locally, to be honest, I thought something has got to be done. And I do pride myself on speaking about causes and things that I'm passionate about and I'm convicted about. I'm a big believer, like, if not me, then who? Mm-hmm. And if not now, then when?
Right.
And I feel like if we can take a stand and be more vocal, and not to mention with our daughters that I mentioned before, you know, I see all the things that Dawn was speaking about social media, and it concerned me because we see how much social media has taken the eyes and almost the heart of our children.
Yeah.
And I thought, holy cow, man. So I was like, okay, I got to talk to my kids. You know, and I got to let them know what are signs, and also not to do things that they would think is possibly innocent on social media, and who are they speaking to? And I think that for me, it started there, where I'm like, if I can make an impact in my home, mm-hmm. and I can make an impact on my children's friends, because there's a lot of things in our local area that I see that are concerning to me, to be honest. And even friends my daughters had, I saw some of their home lives. And we had done a lot through the years to come alongside many families that were going through many things, addiction, abuse, and at all different levels, it crushed me. Mm. It crushed me, if I'm going to be honest. And I thought, okay, we've got to step forward. We've got to spread the word. We've got to support organizations like Join the Movement, and knowing that we don't have the time or capacity to spearhead it like Dawn does, but we can make a difference by coming alongside and speaking about it, sharing it in our community, sharing it across the globe, sharing it even with my own business, with people that we work with. We can make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a big message for people, because I think a lot of times we all feel like it's just me. It's just one. But the reality is there is a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And when you have a cause you can back and you share it with passion and gusto, people get excited about, okay, if she can make a difference, can I make a difference? And if I can make a difference, can my neighbor make a difference? And pretty soon it's not just one.
Right, right.
And so I think that's what really compels me to be such an advocate about this. It's one, it's close to my heart. Two, I see how close it comes to my own children. Number three, my heart breaks for women and children in general, and how we can support them, encourage them, help them to grow, run businesses themselves, protect themselves from things that are going on in the world that a lot of people keep a blind eye to.
Right, right.
And we really have to talk about it so people are aware. And it just really brought it full force, by the way, when I was speaking to my in-laws just in the last 6 months. And I told Dawn about this. I said, I'm sharing with them some concerns I had about, you know, that going on in our own community. And they couldn't believe it. They said, they live in South Carolina. And they said, well, it's not happening here. It's happening in the other countries. I said, no, no, no. It's happening here. I said, it's happening in our own county. It's happening in our own town. It's happening possibly in our own neighborhood. And they were like, there is no way. But see, unfortunately, when they said that, it made me realize even more how so many people do not know. Yeah. Like, there's so much that needs to be done around this area, which really gets me excited about the possibility of coming alongside, join the movement, and spreading the word.
Yeah. Now, we're not called to do everything. I mean, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something, even if it's one thing, like you talked about, Melissa, because it has that domino effect, as I said before, because you talk to one person and then those people go out and talk to other people. You never know who you're talking to and who they know. So best to put it out there. And if they grab hold of it and run with it, that's awesome. If someone listening today has a heart that breaks over a particular cause, what words of wisdom would you like to share with them based on your experience?
Yeah, I would just say get involved. You know, ask that question first, what breaks your heart? And whatever the answer is, we can be part of that ripple effect. We have this powerful tool called Google, which we can jump on if we don't know where the organizations are, by the way, and put in that topic of your concern, see what organizations are in your area at a broader scale, and just get involved. Literally contact the organization. So we talked earlier about how to contact Dawn and how to contact Join the Movement. Same thing. I would just encourage people, make the call, send the email, find out if there's anything you can do, anything at all, and get started right away. I think that's so important, that even though we have busy lives, we have to know what's important in our life. And that's a big difference.
Right. And prioritize that, right? Mm-hmm. do you have resources? So we talked about at the beginning all these great leaders that I have followed over the years, and the fact that you have co-authored two books with one of the greats. Do you have resources that people can check out for business or join the movement to be supported in feeling seen, heard, understood, and valued?
Absolutely. So there's two books, as you mentioned, that I co-authored with Brian Tracy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he is someone that I have watched and learned from, consider him a mentor of mine for over 20 years. So honestly, I was blown away back in when I first started Melissa Whitaker International, started my business in 2010. And I was listening to one of Brian Tracy's webinars, and he makes this announcement at the very end. And he said, I'm going to do something. I've decided to do something I've never done before. See, Brian Tracy has written unbelievable amount of best-selling books, you know, New York best-selling books. And the thing is, he said, I've decided I would like to see if there's other entrepreneurs who would like to learn how to write a book, write part of a book, learn the process of publishing a book, and I'm going to co-author a book with them. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. My mentor, the person I have followed for over 20 years, may do this. And of course, I kind of chuckled, Jill, to be honest. I thought, well, there's no way, you know? But I thought, what the heck? I am someone who's bold. I take risks. I put it out there. And eventually, one day, something will happen. You know, so that's my thought process at that time, because I just started my business. You know, I had a brand new baby at home. I had a 2-year-old toddler. I was working around the clock. I really didn't have time to really write a book. But I thought, what the heck? So he put it out there and he said, if you're interested in being considered to co-author now or in the future any books with me, submit a sample of writing. And here's where you want to send it to my publisher and my agency that I work with. And we will get back to you if you're selected to do something like that. And I thought, what the heck? You know, I can't lose anything. The worst thing I can say is no.
Right.
So I put some thought to it. I wrote something I thought was some really good work. And I submitted it to his team. And I forgot about it. I mean, I told my family, chuckling a little bit, like, I did this. But I kind of forgot about it. I went on with my business, running my business, taking care of my kids, you know. And 2 months later, I get this call. You know, you think you're on candid camera or something. I get this call, and they're like, hey, this is the agency, you know, a Celebrity Press. We work with Brian Tracy. And I'm like, okay. And they said, well, you've been selected to co-author a book with Brian Tracy. And I thought,
where's Alan Fund?
Wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. Is this a joke? Are you being totally serious? I fell off my chair. I thought, there is no possible way. But I thought, I'm going to take it. You know, because sometimes God blesses you with amazing things that you never know is going to happen, but you're just at the right place at the right time talking to the right person. Right?
And you say yes.
And I say yes.
Yeah.
Right? And you take a risk on yourself and you say yes. And so I thought, let's do this. I thought, I have no idea. I have no time to write anything, but I'm going to figure this out, of course, right? So I went through the process. I was definitely well-educated. Like, they did such a great job of teaching me along the way of what they do for Brian Tracy. And so they helped me to put together the first book, which was called Pushing to the Front, Frontline Strategies from the World's Leading Experts. And then years later, they came back to me and said, is it time to co-author another book with Brian Tracy?
Nice.
And I didn't have the time then either. And I said, yes, let's do it. And then
You made the time.
So that last book that came out, and first one was in 2011. The second one was 2016. And the second one is called Beat the Curve. It's all about health, wealth, and success. And both of these books can be found on our website under Melissa Whitaker, WHITAKER, and then intl.com/resources. So Melissa Whitaker, intl.com/resources. And I say that because you can access the books there. You can order the hardcover, but you could also do an ebook. And the reason why I love providing that information is because it weaves in that whole mantra, how to feel seen, heard, and understood. And it also, because we have an entire section on our website that talks about what we're passionate about and how we give back, and also some things we're doing with Join the Movement. So they can find both of those on our website easily, and my contact information is on there as well.
Fantastic. Well, we've come to the close of our show. As I say, have said many times in this interview, we just never have enough time. And we could just sit around this table and talk all afternoon, couldn't we?
Yes.
Yes.
But I want to thank my guest today, Melissa Whitaker, CEO of Melissa Whitaker International and board member of Join the Movement, and Dawn Fiedler, founder of Join the Movement. I appreciate you both sharing your messages about why you're involved on many different levels and why you want to be part of the solution to this pervasive problem we have all across the country. So thank you for being here today. If you like what we talked about and you want further information, you can reach out directly to Melissa or Dawn from Join the Movement. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, like our guests today, that you think would be great for the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com, or you can call our office at 262-63200. I encourage you to join in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the ways people and organizations are making a difference in our community and in our nation. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone, and you can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows. Now, I may sound like a broken record when I share my call to action at the end of the show, and it's really very similar for every show, and that is to give some thought to how you can make a difference in some way for someone in our community or outside of our community. Our guests have already shared what they're doing to step up and out and make a significant impact, whether that's by leading an organization or supporting an organization by donating, volunteering, or advocating for them. Everyone has the capacity to make a difference in some way. You just have to have the gotta wanna mentality. You've got to want to make a difference, big or small, one time or many times over. So I encourage you to use your time, your talents, your treasures, your connections, your influence, whatever it is, to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.